Greetings
to those of you who receive our tapes. I'm sure you will be aware that you missed a tape from last week. Last week I was in southeastern Georgia, where we organized the church there, where Reggie Moore was then called as pastor, that had been a mission of our church, and then I stayed and preached through Thursday for them. We had a great time. I ask you to pray for the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Popwellville, Georgia, about 20 miles west of Brunswick, Georgia. Pray that God's blessing to be upon them. It's certainly good to be back home with my church here in Tulsa. We pray that these tapes will be a blessing to you. This is the Sunday morning, June the 30th, service of the 1996, the Landmark Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and your speaker is Joe Wilson. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, Don't converse with the devil. Speak to him, say, Depart from me. And she said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Satan began his assault on the human race for the self-esteem program, for the humanist program, for the New Age religion program. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. But my text is verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Now, as we study different religious teachings taught by different groups and different people, in our seeking to determine what our attitude should be about those teachings, and whether or not those teachings are true, it is important that we know when and where and who started those teachings. When and where and who started those teachings. I'm preaching to you on the first no-heller. The first no-heller. Now there is a hell. It is important that we know whether or not there is a hell. As we seek to win men to Christ, as we seek motivation as to endeavoring to win men to Christ, it is important that we have an established opinion on the subject of hell. We need to make up our minds what we believe about hell. What we believe about hell will have a tremendous influence upon our efforts to reach men with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, the Bible is very plain and very clear, and very pronounced as to its teaching about hell. The Bible tells us that the Lord will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. The Bible tells us that whosoever was not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible tells us that those who take the mark of the beast, and of course by extended application all who die without Christ, shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out into the cup of His indignation without mixture, and that the same shall be tormented day and night with fire and brimstone, and that they have no rest day nor night. The Lord Jesus taught much about hell, the wonderful, the sweet, the gentle, the kind, the loving Lord Jesus Christ, who, had there been no hell, would never have thought of teaching about hell, would never have tried to scare men into following Him by a falsehood. He had more to say about hell than He did about heaven. No Bible teacher, writer, says more about hell than the Lord Jesus Christ. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, yet said much about eternal hell. He speaks of men being tormented and the place where there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He said the righteous shall go away into eternal life, but the wicked into everlasting punishment. He said that it would be better for a man to cut off his hand, cut off his foot, pluck out his eye, if that were needful, to keep from going to hell. Be better for a man enter into life maimed and half blind, rather than to enter into hell fire, where the worm is not killed and where the fire is never quenched. That men would be better off. That hell was so terrible that men would be better off to go in to suffer anything rather than to suffer eternal hell. Hell is so terrible that it is beyond the power of human words to describe or the ability to properly understand how hell is. No matter how bad the preacher might make hell to be, the reality will be worse than that. Jonathan Edwards was severely criticized for his preaching on hell. I have not read the man who made hell quite as vivid and terrible as Jonathan Edwards. But I assure you that hell is worse than Jonathan Edwards ever made it out to be. A man might spend hours and exhaust human language in an effort to make hell seem terrible. But if the man who listens to him should shortly thereafter die and go to hell, he would say the half has never been told. The half about heaven has never been told. How beautiful and how blessed and how wonderful heaven is, no man can tell and no one can fully comprehend, and the same goes for hell. No man can fully tell for, and no one can understand in this life, how terrible hell really is. euthanasia is getting a large toehold in American thinking. There have already been states who have voted the doctors the right and the privilege to assist in the suicide of those who are sick and infirm and want to die. Dr. K in Michigan, there is no one who doubts his guilt. The courts have been able to prove his guilt, but they have not yet produced a conviction and sentenced this man to the punishment he deserved. I predict that as abortion has taken over in America, so will euthanasia, the assisted death of those who are sick and aged and do not look like they will get any better. One of the arguments of the euthanasia enthusiasts and supporters is that they will get these people out of their suffering. That is the major argument in favor of euthanasia. But the fact of the matter is that they may get them out of their suffering, but that in many, many cases, they will speed their moving from less suffering into more suffering. How many of those who are murdered by their doctors? Oh, the medical profession. At one time, an honored profession is rapidly becoming the most murderous profession on the face of the earth. The worst murderers today are not serial killers who maybe kill 10 or 12 or more. But the worst serial murderers of the day are the doctors. Some who have aborted thousands in the mother's womb and some who will assist in the death of multitudes more through euthanasia. A man is sick and he's suffering. And he dies and the doctor or the people or the family say he's out of his suffering, that all depends. Most of those who die are not out of their suffering. They are now in the worst suffering that they've ever known. We need to believe and preach the truth about hell. And certainly the truth about hell. Now, I believe aborted babies are with the Lord. But the truth is that most of those who are killed by the pleasing term of euthanasia, which is simply another word for murder, most of them are in the worst torment that they have ever known. No matter how bad one talks about hell, no matter what pain one might suffer in this life, hell is far worse. Heaven is more wonderful than anything. There's nothing here that can compare with the beauty and the joy and the blessing of heaven. And there's nothing here that can compare with the torments and horror and the suffering of hell. Man will be sustained by God in a body that will suffer what would kill that body in this life. But God will sustain that body through all eternity under the great torments of hell. The Bible is most clear on this subject. The fact is that you believe in hell or you don't believe in the Bible. this man I told you about who rested Luke 16. If a man can get eternal hell out of Luke 16, he can get anything else he wants to out of the Bible. He can do away with any doctrine of the Bible if he can do away with eternal hell in Luke 16. The Bible is very plain and very, very clear that there is everlasting punishment, that it is day and night, and that it is forever and ever. As long as there is a God, as long as the heaven of the saved, so long will be the torments of those who die without Christ and go to hell. Now, with the Bible so clear and plain, and with the doctrine of hell so prominent in the teachings of the Bible, one can but wonder why there are so many who do not believe in hell. There are many non-Christian religions that do not believe in hell. But what I address myself to this morning is those who profess to believe the Bible, as this man I told you about, and as multitudes of others, profess to believe the Bible and still deny eternal hell. We have the no hell, no wrath in God of the modernist preachers in every major denomination. The man in Winston-Salem who pastored a large Methodist church, Walter Thompson, who said to me, "There's no wrath in God." And as I read to him some scriptures on hell, he laughed at me and made fun of eternal hell and said to me, "Man wrote that." I asked him, "Mr. Thompson, where did you learn about love in God?" And he said, "From the Bible." And I said, "The same Bible teaches wrath in God. The same Bible that teaches John 3:16 teaches Revelation 14, which tells about tormented day and night forever and forever." I read to you recently from a Tulsa World Saturday religious page teaching that the Church of England was now denying eternal punishment. I'm sure that's not all of them, but at least many of them do. So there are a multitude of Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and major denominations who deny the reality of hell. And then we come to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Millions of them scattered around the world, hundreds of thousands of them here in the United States, who absolutely deny the eternal hell for the unsaved. I did not realize what I was preaching to. Down in Georgia, I preached a sermon, and I preached about Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said to them, and I say to you, don't be nice to Jehovah's Witnesses. If they knock on your door, you say, "You hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more." And I point out to them and to you that if you would hear a knock on the door and you'd go to the door and there'd be a black man there with his gun in his hand, you wouldn't say, "Come in, sir, may I fix you something to eat and give you a cup of coffee or something to drink?" You would get rid of him if you could. If you would go to your front door and there were a rattlesnake at the front door, you would not say, "Come in, rattlesnake. I'm glad to have you. I welcome you into my home." You would kill it if you could, but a rattlesnake is not as dangerous as a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon at your front door. You understand that men who come to destroy your soul and to try to get you to believe what they're teaching is more dangerous than physical danger would be at your front door. The Bible says that you're not to welcome them into your home and you're not to bid them Godspeed. Stand, if you like, at the door and talk to them on the porch. And when they leave, do not say, God bless you, for if you do, you are partakers of their evil deeds. Jehovah's Witnesses are going around, most likely while I preach to you in the city of Tulsa, spreading, trying to get people to believe a lie that will send the believers thereof to eternal hell. What could be more dangerous than that at your front door? The Seventh-day Adventists had their services yesterday, and they argue that they believe in hell, but they do not believe in the hell of the Bible. They believe in a hell that would last a few seconds. At the most, not over a minute or two. And that's not the teaching of the Word of God. We have four or more Unitarian Universalist churches in Tulsa. And they do not believe in hell. The word Universalist, which has been added to their name, Unitarian means that they are not Trinitarian. It's a little strange, the people I mentioned to you this morning, the United Pentecostalists, are Unitarians, but they believe that Jesus is the only one in the Godhead. Unitarians believe that Jesus is just a man, and that the Father is the only one in the Godhead. But Unitarian, Universal, and they're very popular, highly thought of religious organization, but they deny eternal hell. Now, where does this denial of hell come from? Since the Bible is so clear and plain, since there is absolutely no excuse whatsoever for anyone claiming to believe the Bible, and of course Unitarians do not pretend to believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses do claim that they believe the Bible. Where does the doctrine of no hell come from? Where did it get started? It started in Genesis 3:4. No hell doctrine started from the devil in Genesis 3:4 when he said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. And of course, when God warned that eating of the forbidden fruit would bring the punishment of death, God was talking about spiritual death and then culminating in eternal death. The devil is the first no-heller. The first sermon ever preached by anyone other than God was preached to Eve, and Adam was with her in Genesis chapter 3. The devil taught in this sermon, do your own thing. Whatever makes you happy. Do you want the fruit of that tree that God said you shall not eat of it? Do you want that fruit? It'll make you feel good. it will make you wise and you'll be like God. Go ahead and eat that fruit. Don't let anyone, even God, interfere with you or tell you what to do. God's Word, if there is any word from God, and the first thing the devil said was, had God said. Is there any inspired word of God anywhere in the world? And if there is any word from God, it is not true. You will not be punished for sin. There is no hell. That's what the devil preached in Genesis 3:4. Why did and why does the devil promote this lie? Well, first of all, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And if the devil said it, you can just about count on it that it is a lie. John 8:44 tells us that the devil is a liar and the father of it. The devil is an enemy of God and does all he can to defeat the purposes of God. The devil is a murderer of the souls of men. The Bible said the devil cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy, and that he is a murderer. Why does the devil promote the lie of no hell? Because he is a liar, and because he is a murderer, and because he wants to see you go to hell. The devil wants you to go to hell. He wants your loved ones to go to hell. He wants your children and grandchildren to go to hell. He wants your friends to go to hell. And the devil is doing all in his power to accomplish that. Now, all who believe and preach know hell. All Jehovah's Witnesses, all Seventh-day Adventists, all Unitarians, all of the modernists and the liberals among the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and so on who preach no hell, they all got it from the devil. They didn't get it from the Bible. They got it from the devil. And they are followers of the devil. Jehovah's Witnesses are following the devil. Seventh-day Adventists are following the devil. Unitarians are following the devil. They're not followers of God. I was so sad, and I taught one school class about 10 times, more than I've ever taught any other class. And the teacher's husband was sick and died and had his funeral during that time. And I was so sad when I learned from the other class where I had 8 children and 2 assistants. And one of the assistants' son is a preacher. And I learned that this woman's husband was a Unitarian, and that they had his funeral at All Souls Unitarian Church, or by that preacher. How sad. No hope whatsoever that that woman's husband was in heaven, unless God had saved him in his dying moment. They are all followers of the devil. Now, you understand that. They do all these good works, and they go around and help the poor and feed the poor. But you understand they're following the devil. And they are promoting and carrying on the work of the devil. And they are great enemies of the souls of men. All Souls Unitarian Church is an enemy of all souls, because they are doing the work of the devil. They are liars like the devil, and they are murderers like the devil. That's where no hell came from. Now, there is a hell. It is terrible and eternal. And all who die without Christ will go to hell. And you and I need to give this serious thought. We know people who are on the way to hell. There are people whom we dearly love who are on the way to hell. And unless God saves them, they're going to spend eternity in hell. They don't understand it. They're so wrapped up with the things of this world, the love of money, the love of pleasure, the love of their own way. They want to do what they want to do, and they're going to hell. And you and I need to understand this, and we need to get interested in this matter, and we need to give it serious thought, and we need to be concerned about it. The most important matter that anyone will ever face is the matter of salvation in Christ, or eternal hell. You know, we need to get wrapped up in this thing. It's not, the most important thing is not an education, not a job, not having a good life. The most important thing is being saved and escaping hell. Do not be deceived on this matter. People not being afraid of hell doesn't change it at all. I had a man tell me, "I'm not afraid to die." And I said, "You haven't died yet." People joke about hell, make laughter about hell, but that, there's nobody in hell joking. There are people in hell now, and they're not laughing, and they're not making fun, and they're not joking about hell. That all ceases with death. Let me say in closing, there is a way to stay out of hell. Praise God. There is a way of escape from hell. There's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Now we believe that. But do we believe? Everybody here this morning believes everything that I've preached this morning. But do we really believe? Why aren't we, if we believe, more concerned about people being saved? More concerned about our love? More prayer about it? More faithful and witness concerning Jesus Christ and His Savior.